So, we're in the love season. We're in the love season. Let me tell you, neighbor, I love you. No, don't be shy. Look at the person eyeball to eyeball. Look at the person eyeball to eyeball. Okay, don't look at the person eyeball to eyeball in case. But let me tell you, neighbor, I love you. Tell you, neighbor, I love you. Okay, tell two or three people so that it won't be too personal. Tell two or three people I love you. We're in the love month generally. It's Valentine's season. Today is February 12th, so Valentine is in 2 days. But for really solid married people, we know that Valentine is every day. Praise God. That's not an excuse not to give your spouse a gift. So we're in the love season, and I'm going to be speaking from one of my books, my new books. Actually, I think it should be ready this morning. It should be ready this morning, and I've signed a few copies. Now, if it's by any chance not out this morning, they will announce it. If it's not out this morning, it will definitely be out next Sunday, but I am trying for it to be ready for you this morning, and I've signed a few copies for the first few people that will buy. All right? It's a new book titled Common Love Lies. Common Love Lies. All right? Common Love Lies. All right? So, I'm speaking from there today. I'm taking just one of the points from the book to share in this service. It will be a book that will bless you, whether you're married or not. It will bless you, so make sure you pick up a copy after the service. And I also shared some part of the book in Pastor Mildred's podcast titled Bible Before Breakfast. So those of you that already know, Pastor Mildred has a daily broadcast, Bible Before Breakfast. It was just to get in the Word of God into your heart every day, even on the move or whatever, is by podcast. So if you're not yet subscribed to that, please make sure you do so. She's short and sharp. You just get the Word inside you a few minutes every day. Okay? So Bible Before Breakfast, you'll get some part of the book there also. So today, one of the common love lies I'm going to deal with, because it's a lie that the devil or the society would tell a lot of people in this season. So one of the love lies I'm going to deal with today is the lie that I am not loved. I am not loved because I don't have a Valentine. I am not loved because I don't have a date. I am not loved because I don't have a spouse. I am not loved because I don't have a partner. Whenever it is Valentine's season like this, or a love season, or like last Christmas, a lot of families did pajamas and sweater photo shoots to do Merry Christmas, and they were peppering people that, you know, whenever things like that happen, the tendency is high for some people to start to think that, you know, they are not loved. And here today, I'm here to address that lie. It is a lie because as a child of God, you are loved. You are very loved. Let's look at John chapter 15. Let's start from there. John chapter 15, verse 9. Then we'll jump to verse 13. Verse 9 says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Glory to God. Come on, tell your neighbor you are loved. Did you see that scripture? I love it. Jesus was saying that as the Father has loved me, it says, so have I loved you. So even if you feel there's nobody that loves me in this world, I'm here to introduce someone to you today that loves you. Jesus has said, I love you. I mean, is that not sweet to the ear? I love you. Jesus saying, I love you. Glory to God. Jesus saying, I love you. I know how ladies like to hear those words. Some guys too do, but guys just rather pay him money, all right? But for ladies, I know ladies like to hear those magical three-letter words. I love you. But guess what? God has told you the same words. I love you. So you are loved. Every child of God is loved. Every child of God is loved. Don't believe the lie that you are not loved. Don't get into a mood this season. Don't get depressed. I know social media has made it more difficult. If you need to stay off social media this week, stay off social media. Don't let anybody prepare you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Don't let anybody prepare you. Glory to God. Don't let anybody prepare you. Some of us even need to grow in our emotions to the point where just because somebody's posting their own joy doesn't take away your own joy. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You need to get mature, emotionally mature to the point where if somebody's posting their own joy, it doesn't take away your own joy. Because there are so many people that are so affected by the testimony and joys of others. So if somebody posts their wedding picture, posts their new car, posts their new house, you begin to pity yourself. You now lose your joy. And you begin to pity yourself. Listen, you are loved. You are loved. And the beautiful thing is that you have a more precious love. You have a more valuable love. You have a more solid love. You have a more stable love than the one people are posting. Yet you are feeling inferior. What they have, we're happy for them about their love. And if you're here, you love your spouse, you love your partner, we're happy for you. But you need to know that is a secondary love compared to this love of Christ. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I don't know if I'll be able to convince you this morning, but you are loved. Child of God, you are loved. Let me tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are loved. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Look at what verse 13 says. It said, greater love had no man than this. Hallelujah. They said there's no greater love than this. Thank you for your Valentine love, but it's not greater than this. Thank you for your Christmas love, but it's not better than this. Thank you for your bae love or your boo love. It's not better than a boo bae DK love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Your bae love and your boo love is not better than a boo bae DK love. Glory to God. He said, greater love had no man than this. There is no greater love than this. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can get a more contemporary version so that they'll get what I'm saying. This verse 13. There is no greater love. Yes, there are different kinds of love. There are different kinds of love. But there is no greater love. There is no greater love. I want a more contemporary. There is no greater love than the same thing. I want something a bit more different. You know? He said, there is no greater love. Yes. The greatest way to show love for friends is to die for them. This was Jesus just trying to refer that the love or the version of love he gave us, there is no greater love than that. That you lay down your life. You lay down your life for your friends. Especially when they don't even deserve it. You lay down your life for them. I said there's no greater love. There's no greater love. He said, this is the very best way to love. You put your life on the line for your friends. Come on, somebody. There is no greater love than this. Glory to God. There is no greater love than this. So, number one, you are loved. And number two, you actually have a greater kind of love than the one that is making you cry. You have a greater kind of love. And I think... And I've been telling Pastor Mildred this and telling some people around me this. You know, I still discussed with Pastor Maka and some other people when we're talking. I think this is one of the most pressing messages of this generation for people to actually realize how much God loves them. I think people just don't get the weight. They don't get the magnitude. They don't get the value of the kind of love that God has for them. That's why he had to be comparative in that verse. He said, there's no greater love than this. You will see other kinds of love in this life. He said, there's none greater than this one. For a man to lay down his life for his friends. So you are loved. Don't let anybody tell you you're not loved. You are loved with the most precious kind of love. You are loved with the most precious. This love is so heavy that the Bible said we have to pray for you. To actually understand the depth, the breadth. Let's see Ephesians 3. Let's see Ephesians 3. Let's see what it says about that love. Look at this. From verse 17. Ephesians 3 from 17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He said, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? I can't hear you. In what? He said, in love. I pray. Look at that. Go back 17. He said, I pray. I have to pray. Because the level of this love is not something you can understand naturally. The reason why we have not been able to appreciate the love of God is because we are always comparing it to all the natural love we have. This is why you can't envy anybody that is even in love today. Some of those love will not make it. Some of those love, they are seasonal. Some of that love that are posted that is terrorizing you is just a February love. It will end in February ending. Some of those love won't make it past this month. Some won't make it past this year. Some won't make it past next year. They say it's a weaker kind of love compared to God's kind of love. And the reason why we don't respect God's love the way we ought to is that we're comparing it to this human love. We think it's a touch and go kind of love. We think it's a come and go kind of love. It is here today, it's not here tomorrow. You know, if it's a do good to me, I do good to you love, mess up and I mess you up kind of love. That's what we are thinking. That's why we don't value it. You need to understand that the love of God is greater than the love you have from any human being. You need to understand this. Look at this. It says, I pray for you that being rooted and established in love, look at verse 18, you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. Look at this. He said to grasp, because you can't just grasp it naturally. He said, I have to pray for you that you'll be able to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep. Ha ha, glory to God. Do you see how this love is, somebody? In King James, he said, so that you can see the length, the breadth, the depth. Hallelujah. Of his love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That is so powerful. Give me King James version of this verse. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of that love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can go back to NIV now. They said, I have to pray for you so that you can grasp, so that you can understand, so that you can comprehend how wide. How wide. I like this. How wide, you know, this love is. He said how long it is, how high it is, and how deep it is. It's nothing compared to the love of your bae. It's nothing compared to the love of your boo. The reason why many of us are sad and depressed is that we're trying to build our lives on human love. Human love is good, but it's not the best. No greater love than this. Glory to God. See verse 19, guys. He said, and to know this love that surpasses what? Knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He said, this love passes knowledge. It is so deep. It's so deep you can never finish or fully understanding it, of fully understanding. It's so deep. Glory to God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I think this is the most important message today for believers, to know how much God loves them. I'm telling you, I can never forget during the week, I saw a great woman of God post something, and she's a good woman of God, and I follow her on social media. I actually saw her post. She posted something and said, oh, that she's so touched by God, that she can't believe that God can answer stupid prayers sometimes, that God is so good, he answers stupid prayers. And she was giving the story. She said she had something wrong with her seatbelt, you know, of her car, and she didn't want to take it to the service center for them to fix the seatbelt. So she just felt that maybe she should pray, but she was feeling somehow that this is a stupid prayer, and she just prayed with humility and with the sense of that this is a stupid prayer, that I'm just asking God for something stupid. But as she prayed, I think God gave her the wisdom or something, and she touched the thing, I think, started working perfectly, and she was like, wow, God answered a stupid prayer. I mean, when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. As in, there are people that actually think they disturb God. There are people that actually think some prayers are stupid. You know, some people that actually think some of your needs are too small for God. That's why they say you have to comprehend the depth and the breadth of God's love. That means you have no clue. See, this God numbered the hair on your head. Do you even understand what I'm saying? He didn't count the hair on your head. He numbered it. Every time you barb your hair, in heaven, there's a meter showing that number 336,562 just fell out. They know the hair by number that fell out. Glory to God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Hey, they know the hair by number. There is no such thing as a stupid prayer. It can only be stupid if you're praying unscripturally, like somebody should die, or you want to take somebody's husband in prayer. That's stupid, yeah. But what if you say, if it's genuine need you have, it can't be too small. It can't be too small. You know what the Bible says? It says, lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways, Proverbs 3, in all your ways, how many of your ways? No, I can't hear you. I say, how many of your ways? He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. So I couldn't believe that there are people. I was just sitting with Pastor Mildred, and she was saying that, yeah, there are people that, you know, they think there are some things they shouldn't disturb God with. Are you kidding me? Like I said, I always tell people, that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, it has never ministered to me, never. Because why on earth are you in a car with Jesus and you are with the wheel? What are you doing with the wheel? So now you have missed road. You now want to give the wheel to the person that knows road. You must be kidding me. I've never held the wheel. Why would I want to hold the wheel? What am I doing with the wheel? Where do I know I'm going? You are in the car with Jesus and you are holding the wheel. Then you lost. Then you now say, Jesus, take the wheel. So if you didn't lose, you wouldn't give him wheel. Then you don't even know what you are doing. There is nothing like a small prayer. Of course, I don't hate the song. I'm just trying to say it doesn't appeal to me because I've never held the wheel. So there's nothing like a stupid prayer. There's nothing like something too small to ask God for. The reason why many people are suffering, they don't understand that God has no other business than to just bless you. He wants to just bless you. His love for you is passionate. And the beautiful thing about his love is that it's not dependent first on you loving him. Oh man, I can teach this for a whole year. It's not dependent on you loving him. The Bible said, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4, he said, we love him because he first loved us. So the whole relationship never starts from you. Jesus told the disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Glory to God. Come on, God chose me. God chose you. It doesn't matter if Bomboy didn't choose you, God chose you. It doesn't matter if Jumbo did not choose you, God chose you. It doesn't matter if they chose Jennifer instead, God chose you. Hallelujah. And God is better than Bomboy. God is better than Jumbo. God is better than Linda. God is better than Jennifer. If God chose you, it doesn't matter who didn't choose you. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You are the chosen of the Lord. Glory to God. I said, you are the chosen of the Lord. He said, you did not choose me. I chose you. God didn't settle for you. You were not the second or third choice. You were God's first choice. Hallelujah. You need to understand this, guys. The depth, the width, how high, how long, how deep God's love is. He said, we love him. 1 John 4:19. Because he first loved us. So this relationship is not based on how well you're doing at all times. And of course, you have to do well. You know, the Bible, that's not today's topic, so I don't want to enter it so much. The Bible is clear that if you love him, you keep his commandments. All right, so that's fine. You will grow in the things of God if you really love him. But that's not what I'm discussing today. I just need you to understand first that the whole relationship is not built on how good you're doing. I like the way Joseph Prince, we always say it. He said, don't brag on how much you love God. Always brag on how much God loves you. That's more powerful. That's more stable. Because your own love for God can change. Your own love for God can fluctuate. If you're banking your work and confidence based on how much you love God, it will always fluctuate. Because some days, you will not feel like a Christian. Some days, you will not act like a Christian. But you see, thank God it's not built on my own faithfulness. It is built on God's faithfulness. And his faithfulness is sure every time. His mercy endureth forever. They are new every morning. They are sure. Glory to God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying this morning? I can't hear you. I said, are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Glory to God. So we love him because he first loved us. He said, you did not choose me. I chose you. Glory to God. It doesn't matter who did not choose you. Yes, Valentine's Day, some people will find out that they are the second chick. Some people will find out they are the third chick. Hey, there are some of you that might find out you are chick number 9. But it doesn't matter. God chose you. Glory to God. You are God's first chick. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are the love of God's life. You are the center of his world. You are the apple of his eyes. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You are loved. You are loved. Doesn't matter if you don't receive any Valentine gift, you are loved. They have given you the greatest gift of all. That's the gift of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you don't receive flowers, you are loved. All the flowers in the world were created for you. You are loved. It doesn't matter if you don't receive any phone call, you are loved. Glory to God. You are loved. So there's nothing like stupid prayers. There's nothing like disturbing God. He's very committed to every small detail of your life. He loves you passionately. His own kind of love is different from human love. You see, human love, when the relationship is starting, there's a momentum it has. Oh, you're calling each other morning, afternoon, night. Oh, you know, when the relationship starts, if you go and visit, you live in Ikorodu, you go and visit the guy in Aja. Then you visit Naja, then he wants to escort you, back to Ikorodu. Then you escort him back to Third Mainland. Then you don't want to leave each other. You chat morning, afternoon, night. As the relationship goes, usually that steam will drop. This same guy that goes from Naja to Ikorodu to visit you and drop you back, he won't be able to go from the bedroom to the kitchen to talk to you when you get married. You see, because human love is unstable. Human love is just like that. It's fickle. But God's love is passionate about you all the time. It doesn't get to a stage of Christianity where God is no more passionate about you. No, he's always, constantly, passionately in love with you. I mean, that's such a big deal. I said that's such a big deal. So your no needs are too small. If you're feeling sad, you can tell him. If you're feeling lonely, you can tell him. If you're feeling angry, you can tell him. If you want him to help you with a seatbelt, you can tell him. If you want him to help you with that fridge that shocks, you can tell him. Glory to God. He's ready and willing to help. Glory. They call him an ever-present help in time of trouble. Ever-present. Glory to God. So this is such a vital message. Not just to the church, but even to the whole world. The whole world needs to know they are loved. Do you know most of the things people do is born out of two things? Everything people do, especially the bad things, they are looking for love or they are afraid they won't get love. It's all about love. When you see ladies that go naked on social media to get likes, to get views, what are they looking for? They are looking for admiration. They are looking for attention. It's love they are looking for. It's love they are looking for. So they will keep twerking. They will keep going naked. They'll keep doing things to get attention. So it's not just a very vital message to the body of Christ. It's also a very vital message to the whole world. Oh, it's such a vital message. Like I said, when I see the prayers people pray in Nigeria, I just laugh. I laugh. Prayer of desperation. They're always praying like they're trying to convince an unwilling God to become willing. I'll do a series on that later. We are not praying to an unwilling God. He's more willing than your prayer. He's more willing than your own determination to bless you. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. It's such a vital message where we understand the love. And you see, why are we desperate? Why are people in government stealing? It's a fear. Fear is human beings' biggest problem. Fear was what was introduced. The moment Adam and Eve fell in sin, fear was introduced, and is the human's biggest problem. Fear. He said, Adam, where are you? He said, I was afraid. That was the first time fear was ever introduced. And that's what is controlling humans today. Why are people stealing? Fear that I won't have enough. Fear that it will finish. Fear that I won't see another one. Why are people begging in relationship? Fear. Fear that I won't get. Fear that my needs won't be met. Fear, fear, fear. And if fear is the biggest problem, God has a solution. God has a solution to fear. How many of you? Some of you are young, and some of you are Jebota, so you won't know what I'm talking about. But some of the older guys I'm seeing here, some of the oldies I'm seeing here, know what I'm saying. Those days when we used to enter Molue, I can't believe I used to enter Molue in this Lagos. I mean, it has been such a long time. But I was a Molue major. You know Molue? You can even enter Molue without paying if you know how to move around inside the bus when they're asking for money. You can come down from the front and enter from the back. Molue major. Some of you don't know Molue. I don't even know if there's... Is there Molue? Is there Molue in Nigeria? Okay, there's even no Molue. So people don't even know what I'm talking about. Maybe they'll show it on the screen. Real Molue. The real one. Where 100 people are standing. You are everybody joined. Pressing themselves. So I used to enter Molue a lot. And in Nigeria, they have these guys that sell things inside Molue. They sell it in any commercial bus. I don't even know they still do it. But they sell this red capsule. You know this red capsule? That inside white transparent nylon bag. It's a transparent polythene bag. Red. The capsule is always red. It's a transparent polythene bag. No label. And that thing cures all problems. They'll say, buy this capsule. It is so and so amount. Whether you have high blood pressure, you have hypertension, you have madness, you have syphilis, you have liver problem, kidney. This red capsule will cure pneumonia. It cures everything. And it has no name. And it's curing everything. And it's in Molue, we're selling it. We have not, it's not on CNN. It's in Molue, they're selling it. And people will buy. People will buy. That red capsule. Oh my God. They have customers, so they don't play with it. They must buy. So, the same way those guys have a red capsule that cures everything, God has a red capsule that cures all problems of mankind. It's called love. It's called love. Whenever there's a problem, God's first reaction to the problem is love. When the world was going to die, when this world was heading to hell, when this world was already ruled as, doomed, how did God save this world? John 3:16. Oh, man, I love that scripture. I can never get tired of that scripture. All my cars, my recent cars, are all John 3:16. My truck is John 3:16, Roman figure. My the SUV I use now is 3:16 that is there. I want to do a tattoo, 3:16 on my hand. Some people don't like tattoo, but it's not your hand I'm doing it. Praise God. I love John 3:16. When the world was going to die, God's red capsule is for God so loved the world. God's first reaction to any crisis is love. Do you know even when Adam and Eve sinned, God's first reaction to them was not judgment, was not punishment, was love. Many people don't know. They think when God kicked them out of the garden, it was punishment. It was love. When they fell in sin, what it meant was that they were going to be in this state forever. If he had allowed them to stay in the garden, they would have eaten the tree of life, which means we'll live in this dying world permanently. Do you know what that means? Have you seen people that are 80, 90 years old compare their picture to when they were young? As you are getting older, everything is falling. Everything is falling off. Your eyes are drooping. Gravity is drawing every part of your body. You are not even seeing anything well. You are not. I mean, things are just horrible when you're getting older. When you're getting older, to stand up from bed, you do, to lie down, your bone are complaining. We would have lived like that forever, with sickness, with death, with bad government, with all the things we are facing. It will perpetuate. So God had to quickly react and say, look, if I don't push you out of the garden, if you eat this fruit, you will die with fear. You will die in terror. He removed them from the garden so that they won't live permanently. And he made another arrangement called heaven. So we're still going to live forever. But now in heaven, they say there will be no tears. There will be no sorrow. There will be no sickness. You understand? It's the same package, but he repackaged it. So we'll still live forever. Just that we'll live forever in health. You know, I won't need to lose weight. Glory to God. At least I believe. Who needs to lose weight? You can eat anything and not add weight. I mean, glory to God. That's awesome. Lions will not chase you. Cockroach, those flying cockroaches that chase some of you will not chase you again. That would be awesome. Glory to God. So God's reaction to everything is always love. Always love. That's his own red caps. Glory to God. He says, perfect love. That same scripture. Verse 18, I think, or the verse before the one we read. It said, perfect love cast out fear. God's reaction to the biggest problem of mankind, which is fear, is to give them love. He said, there is no fear in love. Once love comes, there is no fear. He said, but perfect love, cast out what? Fear. He said, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hallelujah. So we need to understand this, guys. God's love is just the answer. You are loved. Don't let the devil tell you you are not loved. You are loved. Nothing is stopping you. You are loved. You are loved. Don't worry about me. People are going to get chocolate and flowers and go on a date. You can take yourself out. Nobody's stopping you from taking. Order something. Have a good meal. Watch Netflix. Watch anything you want to watch. Enjoy your life. You are loved. Glory to God. You are loved. Very important. Oh, glory to God. And you know, as I start to round up, what God actually wants, what God wants is that as human beings, before we even enter romantic love relationship with other human beings, we should be so filled with His own love. God wants us to be filled with His love. This is very important. Many people are going into relationships empty. So this is why they are so empty and they are trying to look up to the person they are with to make them happy. They're trying to look up to the person they are with to fulfill them. They're trying to look at the person they are with to complete them. They are depending on that person to fill their empty tank. God doesn't want you to enter marriage or relationship empty. He wants you to enter full. Oh, I don't know if you get what I said. God doesn't want you to enter a relationship empty to say, oh, come and complete me. See, when people enter empty, that's when they become terrorists. They terrorize people. If you leave me, I will kill you. Have you seen those kind of people before? Say, if you die, I will kill you. You must stay married forever. Don't let anything happen to you. You must not stay out. You know, it's a threatening, it's a terrorist situation. You can't break up with them. You know that people that if you want to break up with them, you call police. There are armed people around to tell her you want to break up because she will break your head. As you break up with her, she will break up your own head with bottle. It's the terror. Because those people are so empty and they want humans to feel their love and they can't do without a human being. Have you met those people that never they're never alone? They're never single. They always have a relationship. As you're breaking with them, they have another person. Next week. They use that on the whole body till they found out. They can't imagine being alone. Listen, God wants you so full of His love before you go into a relationship. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. When you are full, that's why he talked about that in Ephesians, to be full of His love, rooted in love. When you are so full of the fact that God loves you and God's love, you see, the way you go into a relationship is different. For instance, number one, when you are full of God's love, you don't beg for love. Have you seen people that beg? I've seen people that beg for a relationship. Please, be my Valentine. Please, be my girlfriend. Please, be my boyfriend. If you can just grant me this one, which, oh my, dream. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You must always come full of God's love. Whoever is entering your life is just an extra. They are not the center of your world. You want to build your happiness on the fickleness of human love. It's not stable. This is why a lot of people are depressed. This is why a lot of people they literally lose their minds when their relationship or marriages break. Because they were building their whole life on something that is not solid. It's not solid. Human love is not solid. I can't count how many times I've heard people tell their spouse, I don't love you anymore. I hear that all the time. Human love, we know many people in our communities that they started very nice. Now the marriage has ended. The love has ended. Because human love is weak. I can't count how many wedding rings or engagement ring I've returned. I can count. Human love, you must enter marriage, enter relationship, full of God's love. You are so full of love. So you don't beg anybody. When you are full of love, I'm going to give you three things that show when you are full of love. Number one, you don't beg for love. Song of Solomon says, if a man gives all the possessions of his house for love, it will utterly be despised. You can't beg. Some men do that. They just see a girl, they just start spending. They want to, you know, influence the person by money. Listen, if you're looking for a real wife, put money aside and spend time with her. If she doesn't like you, forget it.
Because some people just want to just see the girl, just say, send me your account number. That's the first thing they say. You're a mumu. Mumu. Do you know mumu? If for those watching abroad, mumu. Mumu. If you start with money, that girl will fall in love with Nnamdi Azikiwe. She will fall in love. Who is Tafawa Balewa? She will fall in love with the people on our. I don't know if those guys are seeing our currency now. I think the new note. I don't know who is in the new note because we don't have nobody see the new note. You know, I don't know who is in the new note. If you start with money, that girl will fall in love with Abraham Lincoln. That girl will fall in love with the guys posted on that note, naira note and dollar note. Not with you. And what that means is that the day those guys are no more available, or the day somebody has more of those guys than you do, you will know that your marriage is not standing on anything solid. You be the one there. Let her fall in love with you. When she falls in love with you, then spend all your money on her. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I don't mind spending my money for my wife. Definitely. Because she loved me when I was nothing. So there's a time to spend all your money on your wife. Not at the beginning. It's at the end. And ladies, same thing too. Stop collecting gifts and things from guys you know you don't like. Stop saying you're not being wise. You're being foolish. You're being greedy. You're being cheap. By collecting things from guys you don't like just because since he wants to spend money, my own job to eat the money. It shows you are from a. I don't abuse your background or home training, you know. But it shows you came from a scarcity. People that are born with good home training and wealth and good, they don't think like that. But it shows that you know you didn't have these things when you're young. So it's now you want to use your body to get everything in this world. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So be full of love. Before you start. So you're not begging anybody. Second thing that benefits you when you're full of love. When you're full of love, all that comes out of you is love. All that comes out of you is love. When you're full of love, even when you marry someone, you have nothing else to give than love. You know, there's some people that I see the way they treat their spouse. This person is full of greed, full of hate, full of bitterness, full of anger. When you are full of love, even when your partner is not behaving so nice, all you have is love. All you have is love. Sometimes I don't know why many couples have stress. I don't even understand it. When both of you, if both of you, and it has to be both of you, not one person, if both of you are full of love, the only problems you have is who should do for who. So let me help you. Oh, let me help. Oh, let me give you. Oh, let me give you. That's what will be going on in the house. Because both of you are full of love. But you see, when you are empty of love, you are coming to that marriage to suck the other person dry. So there will always be quarrel. One person will always feel used. One person will always feel overused. When you're full of love, all that will come out of you is love. All that will come out of you is love. And the third thing, when you're full of love, because I'm about to round up now, when you're full of love, then you don't accept just anything. The reason why some people accept anything is that they're so empty. So any kind of thing is okay to them. You know what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs? Let me read this one. I like it. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the full soul loathed. Loathed means hates. Loathed and honeycomb. See, when somebody's full, they don't even find honey sweet. It said, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. What they mean? When you are so desperate and empty of love, any kind of love will be sweet. You don't even mind being chick number 13. Side chick 13. Because that small crumbs of love falling to you, you are very happy to have it because you're already empty. See, but when you're full of God's love, anybody that is treating you less than your Father God treats you, you don't want. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's not every. See, people are free to offer you what they like. You too, you are free to either accept or not accept. The kind of thing I see people accepting. I don't know. Say, this girl, pastor, she's so stubborn. She's so useless. She doesn't answer me. She doesn't do. So we get, what should I do? What should you do? Like how? Why are you even asking this question? You have already said she treats you badly. Why are you asking the question? Same thing with girls. Oh, pastor, this man beats me. He cheats on me. He do this on me. What should I do? What do you do? Like how? He has already shown you he doesn't value you. Why are you still there having that discussion? It's because you are empty of love. And you are desperate for love. If you are full of love, there are things you won't accept. Are you here, somebody? Our parents taught us when we were young. I don't know if they teach these things now. Because now, nowadays, parenting is just wonderful. Social media is parenting our kids now. But I don't know if your parents taught you. But in our own time, our parents, as a rule, if you are going for a party, you will eat before you go. So that you won't go there and go and disgrace your family. If you are going for a party, you will eat before you go. Because if you don't eat before you go, you will know the children that didn't eat before they go. When they are sharing food, they are esophagus. You know esophagus? What's the local name for esophagus again, though? What's that local name? They call this thing for esophagus. I forgot his name. when you go for party, I'm not eating, as they are passing food, you'll be disgracing your village. So our parents those days used to teach us that before you go for party, all of you eat. So that when you get there, you are not misbehaving because you didn't food didn't get to you. You're not misbehaving for, you know, you are full before you go. So that's the same thing with love. When you are well, when you are full of God's love, it's not anything that they are doing that is not confusing you. It's not making you depressed. It's not making you hustle. You're not just, you know, I see two women fighting for a man. I'm not talking about marriage. I mean two girlfriends. You are fighting for a man. You don't have sense. Where even if you win the other girl, you are still a loser. Because you have won a fool. You have won a loser. You have won a cheater. So he will continue with you. The problem is not the other girl. The problem is the guy. Don't fight for nonsense. Because you are empty of love. You are desperate. You are desperate. And that's what the world is full of. Desperate people. He said, to the full soul. When somebody's soul is full of God's love. They said, even honey, small do. Even honey, small do. That they bought your girlfriend a car. He's a married man that bought a car for him and you are depressed. You are not okay. They bought a wig for your girlfriend, but she's side chick number 600. But you are envying her. You see, they say when your soul is full of love, even things that people call honey, you are not interested. He said, but to the hungry soul, to the desperate soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When I and Pastor Mildred, when we started a relationship, we have a book coming out on the 10 major agreements we had before we married. Some of them were actually inside marriage, but 10 agreements we had in our marriage. One of the agreements we had when we were dating was that if at any point of this relationship, if you feel I'm not the person you should marry, or you feel you don't want to go ahead with this thing, tell me and we will end it amicably. Can you imagine that? We're both that confident and sure of our own lives. That we didn't see the other person leaving us as the end of our life. You know, there are people like that. If you leave me, I'm dead now. If you just leave me, I'm finished. This is the end of my life. Hey, my life has ended. Oh, you now remove your wig and sit on the floor and be shouting. Come on, come on, come on. It means your life was so empty before this guy came or before this girl came. If your life was so full, their coming or going will not make that much of a difference. We had that agreement. Both of us were healthy in our self-esteem and in our view of life. I had a lot going on in my life already. So we both agreed that, look, if at any point, the way we said it was that even if it's on the wedding day, and that morning you wake up and feel, this is not who I want to spend my life with, I said, I will graciously back down, we'll graciously end it. I will not see it as a problem. All this, you must marry me by force. You must love me by force. It's a sign of emptiness of God's love. It's a sign of low self-esteem. The person that marries you by force, how will he love you by force? Whatever you have will not be real love. Don't you understand? You have more value. You deserve to be loved by someone that genuinely wants to love you. You deserve to be loved by someone that knows how your father also loves you. So they are treating you with respect. But when you come out of desperation, when you come out of, you know, that desperate hunger, they will treat you poorly. That's how life works. They will treat you poorly because they know you would die if they leave you. They know you would die. So we had that agreement. Now, even if it's on the wedding day, you are free to back down. And we both agreed. It wasn't one person imposing on the other. We both agreed that we are so in love with God that even if this is not it, we'll be glad to. You know, you should give that person you claim to love, you should give them enough freedom to also choose you. It's not by force. Because if you say, oh, you must love me, that's not love. That's no more love. That's manipulation. That's witchcraft. What you are saying is that what they want doesn't matter. It's only what you want that must be done. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So, I trust God that we would enjoy God's love, not just in this season, but all through our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I pray over you for 1 minute? Father, I thank you for every son and daughter in the house, married or single, that we will, just like in Ephesians 3, we would understand the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of your love for us. We'll be rooted and grounded in that love. And Lord, our hearts will be so full. You know, your word says you have shed your love abroad in our hearts. Our hearts will be so full of your love that we will not be depressed just because a human being doesn't love us. We know you chose us even before we chose you. You know you loved us even before we loved you. Thank you for that everlasting love. Thank you because you are the center of our world and not any man. We know that we are loved. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen.